Hello and welcome to the Gadget Show podcast. This week we are joined by our resident legend, John Bentley. And to celebrate, we've been rummaging around the Gadget Show archives and dug out some of our old future-gazing features.
Oh, I know.
Featuring fresh-faced, collagen-filled versions of me, John and Jason. And we're looking back at the predictions that were made over the years to see who really knew what they were talking about.
You know you can re-inject that stuff, right?
Oh, I've tried.
From smart homes, wearable tech and gadgets that promise to change the world, we'll be revisiting some of our boldest forecasts and finding out which ones came true, which ones completely flopped, and which are still waiting in the wings to find their moment.
So before we get started, a quick word from our friends at CEX.
Yeah, if you're the sort of person who can lose half an hour looking at gadgets that you never even knew that you wanted, then CEX is a dangerous place.
Yeah, whether you're into smartphones, gaming, cameras, laptops, smart home tech or retro consoles, there's always something interesting on the shelves.
And every item comes with a 5-year warranty, which is longer than many manufacturers offer on brand new products.
Of course, all that tech has to come from somewhere.
If you've got an old phone, a laptop, a console, an old smartphone or a tablet gathering dust at home, CEX might buy it from you for cash or give you even more in in-store credit.
Which means your old gadgets could help pay for your next upgrade.
It's a win-win.
So visit webuy.com or your local CEX store and see what's waiting for you. Right then, back in the day, predicting the future was one of our favourite things to do. Whether it was wearable technology, wireless charging, touch screens or futuristic transport, we were always trying to work out what gadgets we'd be using in the years ahead. The thing is, some of those predictions were actually, surprisingly, quite accurate. So we've gone back through the Gadget Show archives to revisit some of our boldest visions of the future that John, Jason and I made to find out what happened next and discover which of us was the best at spotting tomorrow's technology before everybody else.
Those archives, Susie, are actually behind John. You can see just on the shelves.
They're in the file. They're all filed in his little storage room.
I'm in the vault.
John the Vault, as we like to call him. Do you want to start with some of the future tech that you saw back in 2007, I believe?
Wow.
Yes, 2007. I mean, I think I just got a Mark V Golf and I drove in it to Cambridge to visit various R&D labs. And I was shown a glimpse of three technologies that then seemed years ahead of their time. And looking back now, it's actually amazing for once just how accurate my predictions turned out to be, which is great, really. First was BT's motion-controlled laptop interface. Tilting and shaking a computer to control it felt like pure science fiction back then, but the underlying technology would soon become a huge part of everyday life. Let's take a look.
The first stop on my journey was BT's research and development facilities in Ipswich. It was their recent work in motion sensing technology that I was interested in.
Now, we're used to seeing motion sensors and accelerometers in all sorts of things these days. Everything from the Nintendo Wii's Wiimotes to your mobile phone, where they're used to tell which way up it is. Now, BT are trying to use the same technology to simplify the process of operating a laptop.
This is a prototype of BT Balance, a USB device that's packed with motion and balance sensors. It allows you to control any tablet, PC or laptop by simply moving it around.
I can go through the menu by tilting it from side to side like that until I get to the one I want, and then when I've got the application, I enter it by tilting the laptop forward. This one's a book, actually a very interesting copy of the BT Annual Report. And I can flip through the document by tilting the laptop about its central axis. And when I'm done with that, I can shake it like an Etch-a-Sketch to get back to the main menu.
Currently, Balance only supports a handful of custom-made applications. But it looks to me like one day, using your laptop could be literally as easy as flicking through a book.
John, so good. Last week's episode, whenever the last episode, one of our viewers described you as the David Attenborough of tech. And that's why. It was really lovely. Like, absolutely drew me in, that did. But Yeah, are we there? We saw them with the tablets.
Yes, I'm not sure whether it was actually quite as accurate a prediction as I vaguely remembered it, in the sense that I was sort of thinking of how much we had accelerometers and everything else. Then we'd already had them by 2007 in various things. And I wonder whether...
But then you have got the laptop wrist thing, really Susie, on the... You know the Meta glasses display, they've got the wrist thing. Mm. And then you've got hand tracking, like on the Snapchat specs that we talked about in the previous episode. So this, that's a form of...
It is. Motion interface. They're built into everything, aren't they, these days, really, if you think about it. So not just, they're what allow your phone to rotate the screen automatically, count your steps, track movements during workouts. Like you talked about the motion control gaming there in that piece in 2007. But what looked experimental in nearly 20 years ago is now found in billions of devices worldwide, isn't it? So, I mean, it was accurate from that point of view.
That we predicted how it would actually sort of take off to become universal. Yes, I think that's fair. I also visited Microsoft's labs in Cambridge to see something called ThinSight, which an experimental multi-touch display capable of recognising multiple fingers independently. And at the time, this was most definitely cutting-edge research.
This is ThinSight. It allows you to manipulate on-screen images and characters in ways we've never been able to before.
Microsoft's ThinSight uses optical technology to create a more sophisticated form of touchscreen interface. It recognizes multiple fingers, what they call multi-touch.
It does this using a grid of infrared transmitters and receivers embedded in the LCD screen. These allow ThinSight to see and track individual fingers.
And it's actually been set up so you can see what it's doing with the information. In the first box, you see the raw data from my fingers. In the second, you can see the digitized form. And in the final box, there it is distinguishing between them. And as long as I keep my fingers on the screen, it remembers which one's which.
By gathering this information, ThinSight allows you to manipulate on-screen objects in really sophisticated ways. And it felt to me a lot like shuffling objects round on a real surface. ThinSight is still in development, but in the near future it should open the door to things like touchscreen music mixing and even touchscreen multiplayer gaming.
God, because this was a few months before, touchscreen smartphones been transforming everything.
Exactly, yeah.
So I mean, you nailed it then.
Bang. You absolutely nailed on there, John, wasn't it?
Yes, I mean, because today, I mean, every smartphone and tablet relies on advanced multi-touch technology, pitch to zoom, swipe, gestures, drawing with multiple fingers and touchscreen gaming, but they all stem from that sort of innovation.
Well, I think about that program Procreate. Have you ever played with that on the Apple iPad? Yeah, my daughter used it an awful lot for her illustration at a university. And that is really what you were just describing, actually, the interface for that.
Yeah, so that led the way there, didn't it? I mean, that was bang on, John.
It's amazing, yes. Gosh.
That's what we're going to call him, isn't it, from now on? Bang on,
bang on John. Yeah.
No, but people think, is that because he bangs on a bit? You know what I mean? They're like, no. It's because, it doesn't matter, like that. Ooh. So you have to be careful with nicknames.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, finally, there was wireless charging. Now, in 2007, the idea of simply placing a gadget on the surface and having it charge without plugging in a cable all felt incredibly futuristic.
My last appointment was with a company called Splash Power, who have spent 6 years perfecting a technology that I'm sure you're going to see everywhere before long.
The curse of gadgetry is the mains adapter. Every new gadget comes with a new one. They're usually completely incompatible, and going on holiday is a nightmare because you've got to remember to pack them all. Now, imagine a better world where, instead of that pile of old adapters, you've got a universal base station. Pop any of your devices on top of it and they start charging automatically and just as quickly as if you'd plugged them into the mains.
These are induction chargers. You don't plug devices into them, they charge gadgets wirelessly.
How do they work? Well, there's a magnetic field generated by a coil of wire in the base. If you put another coil of wire into that field, then energy is transferred from one coil to another. Now, obviously your phone doesn't have a coil of wire in it right now, but if you fit one on in the form of an adapter, then the charging takes place.
Some electric toothbrushes already come supplied with primitive, very low-power induction chargers, but these are the first designed for higher-drain devices, such as mobile phones and MP3 players.
Now, in the future, the company hopes that phones will be made with tiny little coils of wire built in them so they're ready to be charged. And they hope that as well as having a base station in your home, you'll find them in your car and in public places like hotels and restaurants. When that happens, that whole great big pile of adapters really will be a thing of the past.
Hang on. Bang on, Johnny boy.
Well done.
You nailed it.
Oh,
you nailed that one.
I know, they're everywhere.
Although I do find the ones on the train really slow charging. I don't think they charge that quickly. But they stop the, they stop it powering down, I guess.
Yeah, we've got them in cars now, haven't we? Yeah, my car's got one.
Yes, I mean, you'd sort of expect it now. And airports, cars, cafes, earbuds, smartwatches, smartphones, everything is compatible with a charging pad, which is good. So what was once a lab prototype has quickly become part of the mainstream. I mean, and we're gradually getting there with cars, aren't we? I mean, I think wireless charging is now available on certain models, but the problem is it's such a time-sensitive issue that it's we're still stuck with wired, really. But anyway.
Okay, quick question. If I handed you £5,000 right now and dropped you into a CEX, what would you buy? Because one of our Patreon supporters is about to find out.
That's right. We're giving one lucky supporter £5,000 to spend at CEX. And if you're wondering what that actually looks like, here's some footage of our previous winner, Richard Wykes, spending his haul.
Thank you, Gadget Show.
£5,000 at CEX, it goes a very long way. You could pick almost anything from your tech dreams, like a gaming PC, a PlayStation 5 Pro, an Xbox Series X, a Nintendo Switch 2, a giant OLED TV, a premium soundbar, a 4K Blu-ray player,
a MacBook Pro, an iPhone, an iPad, an Apple Watch, AirPods Pro, a flagship Android phone, a powerful laptop,
a DSLR camera, a couple of lenses, a drone, an action camera, a smartwatch, noise-cancelling headphones, a VR headset, a tablet,
a Dreamcast, a GameCube, a Nintendo 64, a PlayStation 2, a stack of retro games, a racing wheel.
Whatever your tech obsession, £5,000 at CEX can completely transform your setup. And our friends at T3 are also throwing in a year's subscription to the magazine.
Plus, when you join us on Patreon, you'll get ad-free episodes, early access to new shows, bonus content, and access to a brilliant community of fellow gadget lovers.
And if you're on the Max tier, you'll also unlock the entire Gadget Show archive.
That's nearly 20 years of gadget reviews, legendary challenges, road trips, and plenty of moments we'd probably, you know, rather maybe forget, actually.
or we wouldn't be allowed to make today, that's for sure. So join Patreon. You're automatically entered into the draw.
Just head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow to find out more. You'll find all the details and full terms and conditions in the episode description. Good luck.
So from really useful to one of mine. In 2011, I was challenged. I had to laugh when we brought this back. To build a piece of future technology. Now, I decided to create something that combined fashion with gadgets. And the result was a pair of high-tech heels, stay with me, that could control an MP3 player using nothing but foot movement. I know it sounds a bit clunky. But packed into the shoes were sensors, switches, and wireless transmitters that allowed me to play, pause, skip tracks, and adjust the volume just by tapping my feet together, like in The Wizard of Oz, or shifting my weight around. At the time, it did feel, trust me, incredibly futuristic. The idea that technology could be controlled through natural movements rather than buttons or touchscreens. So that was the thought behind it. The shoes incorporated several technologies. Position sensors to skip tracks by moving a foot left or right. Micro switches to adjust the volume. Quantum tunneling composite. That material was in the toe area, allowing tracks to be played or paused by pressing down on the shoe. A wireless transmitter and receiver system that sends commands from the shoes to an MP3 player. Do you want to see it?
Absolutely.
Here we go.
The day of reckoning had arrived, and in a few moments we'd have to put our tech to the test in a fashion show at House of Fraser.
Thank you very much. On a catwalk, surrounded by fashion fans, our creations will be judged by legendary designer Wayne Hemingway. The man behind award-winning label Red or Dead. He's also designed all kinds of gadgets. But he's notoriously hard to please, and his ideas of what makes good wearable tech were exacting, to say the least.
Is it going to make my life better? Is it going to stop me having to carry this heavy bag? Is it going to stop me having to break my shoulder with a big laptop battery? You know, is it going to help me not to carry a GPS to find my way around? You know, that's the kind of stuff that I want.
Backstage, the tension was rising as we geared ourselves up.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Susie Perry and her MP3 shoes.
I stepped onto the catwalk with my gesture control heels transmitting wirelessly to my MP3 player. Position switches within them allow you to skip through tracks by moving your foot left or right. A micro switch at the front pauses or plays a track, and as I neared the end of the catwalk, I tapped my toes together to nudge up the volume. Next, I wanted to pause the music, but in my nervousness, it took me four goes to get it right. Finally, I got it.
I did that. So these are my MP3 shoes, and the idea is, well, I just love the whole idea of gesture-related gaming, the kind of concept of the Wii and not having to press buttons all the time. So I thought I'd take that idea and put them into a pair of shoes, using technology, being able to control your MP3 player by dancing.
I could imagine Justin Timberlake being able to control their shoe MP3 player. But, you know, could you do it? You know, is it ever going to happen?
And lots of manufacturers are looking at completely different ways of controlling technology. They've been talking about wearable tech for a long, long time now, but we're starting to see wearable tech now on the high street in ski jackets with MP3 buttons and Bluetooth and all that sort of thing. And I think it's only a matter of time before it does go into things like shoes. I think, you know, subtle movements could be a thing of the future.
I think we will have some kind of decent market for wearable technology on your footwear, but I think, first of all, it'll come from footwear that actually generates power. So, you know, that kinetic energy idea that you're generating electricity from every step that you take, then that could power your MP3, that could power your phone, and then after we've got all that sorted out, then to start about the fun things like you're talking about now.
Well done, Susie. I was rooting for you there, kiddo.
He's a hard man to please. He was tricky, wasn't he?
No, yeah. He's cool. We like Wayne. I think.
No, he was great sport, actually, coming along.
He was a legend. Remember, he was on The Big Breakfast. Do you remember? He was a real big name back in the day. And
absolutely,
Red or Dead was great. I really like your pitch. I liked your pitch. I was convinced by it.
Mm. I mean, looking back now, I suppose what's fascinating is how close we were actually to predicting where wearable tech would eventually go. And my music controlling shoes, they didn't become a high street hit, shockingly. The idea of embedding technology into things that we wear absolutely has happened, though, of course. Today, millions of people wear smartwatches that track their movement, health and fitness. Wireless earbuds can be controlled with simple gestures. And smart rings can monitor everything from sleep quality to heart rate from a device barely larger than a wedding band. Wearable tech has become a massive part of our everyday lives. And perhaps most interestingly of all, footwear itself has become smarter, actually. Yeah, modern Nike running shoes, they can track performance metrics, analyze your gait, measure distance, and provide detailed feedback through connected apps. Some experimental designs can even guide you using vibrations built into the shoe. So, you know, there's a synergy there to what we were doing on the gadget show. So while I might not see people DJing with their feet anytime soon, the bigger prediction turned out to be fairly accurate, really. The future wasn't about carrying more gadgets. It was about building technology into the things that we already wear, and that's exactly the direction the industry ended up taking.
Yeah, and I also think there's room yet still to come as we move into an age of augmented reality displays. One of the things that you see the likes of Meta experimenting with, in their glasses, but also in their virtual reality headsets, the VR stuff, but also Snapchat, as I've already mentioned, certainly in a previous episode. We need some form of interaction, whether it's hand tracking or, in Meta's case, a bracelet. So, yeah, you could still see innovation in that area, I suspect. Anyway, good stuff, Susie. Back in 2013, I decided that if we were going to build a vision of the future for transport, we needed something a little more exciting than, you know, an electric scooter. So, obviously, I built a jet-powered bike. The idea, well, okay, that's a bit of a big headline. Let me give you the details. It was quite simple. Instead of creating a full-blown, you know, flying jetpack, I wanted to build a wearable propulsion system so I could wear it on my rollerblades or my bike or whatever. You know, so it would boost whatever form of transport I happened to choose. So I strapped 4 electric ducted fans, right? So EDFs, rather than, you know, petrol-powered jet engines or whatever it is, propane, these are electric spinning propellers in a kind of tube, right, in a duct, hence ducted fans, right? A bunch of high-performance LiPo batteries, which I think, if I remember correctly, in the park where we shot it, actually caught fire because lithium polymer is very volatile. Anyway, remarkably, oh my goodness, did it work? It was like being rammed in the back by a herd of buffalo and forced to run for your life. It was incredible. 4 electric ducted fan jet motors were in my backpack, a custom-built metal frame and harness, which housed high-power lithium polymer batteries. I had a throttle to control the thrust. And if we have a quick look at the clip, I think you'll find it was very effective.
And here it is, my homemade jetpack, the device designed to help propel any commuter transport gadget. This was our testing ground, a park in Birmingham. Having strapped myself in...
That is heavy, man!
...and completed some safety checks, it was just me, some rollerblades, and the potential future of personal propelled transport. Oh, this is just brilliant. The power from those 4 EDFs is incredible. It was like being hit from behind by a bull charging. Absolute and complete overkill. All right, at least 2 more engines than I actually needed.
Hi, I'm from the future.
Hills, quite steep inclines were absolutely no issue. I couldn't have been happier with the test run so far.
All right, young man. Welcome to the future.
But maybe the future doesn't have rollerblades in it. Maybe in the future, everyone will roll around on trikes. No problem.
Oh, jeez. Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I broke it, you know, but it was fixable, and it had to be because I had one last mission in mind for my personal jetpack. Commuting? Clearly, we can't all commute on a pair of rollerblades, but a folding BMX, on the other hand. It was just brilliant, you know? The combination of the foldable, old-school BMX, all right, with the Skyway Tough 2 Mag wheels, all right? It's my dreams of what the future should be actually happening right now. A foldable BMX with a jetpack. That is it. That is, for me, a future perfect moment.
Oh, my God. I forgot how brave you were. That shot of you where the trike sort of spins out and you end up with your legs akimbo in the air. You just would have a go at anything. Unbelievable.
Oh, no, and lovely.
Them, you know them kids that you passed in the park? They would have been like, they'd be 20 now. Wonder if they can remember that, that mad bloke in the park with the jetpack. When you were on your rollerblades, It just looked fantastic. I mean, I know it was bulky, but it looked like you could control it really well.
Absolutely. And
Unlike the trike.
It's incredible. In fact, all I'm thinking now, having just listened to it, is I want to rebuild it. I want to give it a go in Newquay, and I want to go along with hold my surfboard and my skateboard and bomb along on that. You know, I think it's great. What's interesting isn't the jetpack itself, of course, though. It's the trend that it was pointing at. It was noisy. It was a little bit ridiculous in terms of the amount of power it delivered, but it was enormous fun, you know. So the jetpack itself isn't the future thing. It's the trend that I was pointing at, right? So in 2013, electrically assisted personal transport was niche. Today, it's blooming everywhere. You know, e-bikes have become one of the fastest growing transport categories in the world. Modern electric bikes use obviously very compact motors, not unlike the motors at the heart of those ducted fans, to assist us with propulsion, you know, up and down hills and along to work and on the cycle paths, which have become a thing in many metropolitan areas. And obviously, you know, we've all gone to a city, haven't we, and hired an electric scooter. So while we're not wearing jetpacks, and I don't think in reality I was proposing that we would be, the idea of electrically assisted mobility, public personal transport is very, very much a thing. And for me, I hope it extends to jetpacks, but I don't think it probably will.
I suppose it's a more minimalist approach to transport, isn't it? I mean, yes, you don't have to carry so much around with you. That's what you were.
Well, the other thing is with the ducted fan, John, is they are increasingly being used in drones and personal transport drones, so personal flying vehicles. Ducted fans are good because the fan, the blade that's spinning and is potentially hazardous, is ducted, so therefore safer. So actually, that's quite an interesting sort of future gazing point there.
So who's the Gadget Show's greatest futurologist then? So in summary, I predicted wearable tech becoming part of our everyday lives. John spotted motion controls, multi-touch screens and wireless charging years before they came mainstream. That was very useful, John. And Jason foresaw a world where personal transport would increasingly be powered by electric assistance.
That's very generous of you. I was going to say, and Jason nailed jetpacks.
Yeah, well, you did. But if we, you know, the truth is that we all got something right, didn't we, in those pieces. But if we're judging purely on how completely their predictions became a part of everyday, I think it's hard for the practicality to look past John.
Ooh,
personally.
Completely agree.
You know, because nearly 20 years on, we all carry motion sensors in our pockets. We use multi-touch screens hundreds of times a day and routinely charge devices wirelessly, don't we? So the technologies that he was shown in research labs back then in Cambridge are now commonplace, and most of us don't even think about them. So I think, if you agree, Jason, this one goes to Lord John Bentley.
Yes, of the Attenborough family. Well done.
Yeah, yeah.
Lord John Attenborough Bentley. Well done, John. Good stuff.
Thank you.
That's it for this week's Gadget Show podcast.
Yeah, a massive thank you to John for joining us.
Thank you.
And of course to all of you for listening, watching and being such an important part of this here podcast.
Yeah, thank you very much, John. And before we disappear, we'd like to give a special shout out to our Patreon supporters. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll see their names right now.
Okay. Yep. You're the brilliant people helping us make more episodes, create extra content and keep the Gadget Show podcast growing.
Whether you've been with us since day dot or you've only just signed up, you're genuinely loved by us. Thank you.
Yes. It means a lot. And if you'd like to join our growing band of peeps, there are plenty of perks waiting for you,
including ad-free episodes, early access to shows, bonus content, access to nearly 20 years of the Gadget Show archives, and entry, of course, into our £5,000 CEX Tech Shopping Spree giveaway.
I'll tell you something, it is only Patreon that enables me, Susie and John, to have access to the episodes of the Gadget Show. I have no other way of doing it. I mean, lots of them are on YouTube, but there is no complete and exhaustive library like that available. I think it's the top tier of Patreon. I'm not trying to sell it to everyone. There's you know, levels of access that every budget should be able to afford. But the top tier does give you 500-ish episodes of the Gadget Show.
So thank you. So in any way that you get involved with our Patreon community, it's important that you know that you will massively be helping The Gadget Show produce content in the future.
And to find out more, head over to patreon.com/thegadgetshow.
We'll be back next week with more gadgets, more tech news, and plenty more to talk about.
Until then, thank you for your company.
See you next time.
Bye.
The Gadget Show podcast with Jason and Susie was presented by Jason Bradbury and Susie Perry off the telly. It was produced by Ewan Keel and Tom Clint and is a North One production.